steward. So that would be for your study. He does a good job. If you still have those in your notes of those words that were used. But a steward today is not what we think as it was in biblical times that those owners had stewards. We may think of maybe a slavery during the American time of that one being placed over. The New Testament deals, we look at a verse or two, that stewards were placed over laborers. Well, laborers today in God's vineyard are us, so there's no one over us but God. We are His stewards. And so a man is not placed as such as an individual placed over a number of Christians. But each Christian is a steward, and his master is God. So it's something we need to keep in mind. In Matthew chapter 20, and verse 8, again, they're not the same thought that, you know, that we deal with it as a steward today. But 20 verse 8, so when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, and you go on, he says, call the labor. So here you have an owner, you had a steward, and you had laborers. Today God is the owner. We are his stewards. There's no one over us but God. Luke 8 and verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, heard Stuart and Susanna and many others who provided for him from their substance. So, again, the idea of a steward. Again, a Christian today is put over as a steward over in charge of by God of many things of this life, such as time, talent, money, material things, family, fellow man, our own souls. Again, the list would go on of what God has placed us over. The church and the gospel, which we're going to look at today. So we're going to look from this aspect. When you begin looking at this, Paul and the rest of the apostles at first were placed as stewards over the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, as Mark relates to us in Mark 1 and verse 1. They had been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Again, how does one become approved today by God to be entrusted with such precious jewels?
By becoming a child of God.
First, you have to be in a right relationship with God. Okay? And so you are approved. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, when we look at these verses, Paul says, but we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. So a steward must be one that's reliable, that when he's entrusted with something, like the stewards of old, when they were entrusted with something, they fulfilled that task as their master had designed for them to do. Paul said, we have been approved, even so we speak. Not as pleasing man, but God who tests our hearts. Again, as stewards of the gospel, we're going to speak things that are not always pleasing. It could cause problems in the world. But yet, as a steward, we do not back down from that assigned task that our master has given us to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9. Verses 16 and 17. Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Why? Why was the necessity laid upon Paul? Because to him had been committed the oracles of God. So he says, of necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Again, that woe that I will have to give an account for if we're not handling the gospel each day and preaching the gospel to our fellow man, which is our responsibility as a steward to preach to the lost. Then woe to us in the day of judgment. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with the stewardship. So Paul says, if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm discharging that trust which was committed to me. And we cannot do that and stand before God in judgment. That's the New Testament version of that. So God had entrusted with Paul the gospel as a steward He makes mention of this a lot of times in Romans, and we'll not read all these verses. Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, there says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. This was Paul's purpose in life, that he was to be separated to preach the gospel. In verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. This gospel was committed to Paul. And 2 and verse 16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ, according, Paul says, to my gospel. And Paul took this personally, even though it was the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul took it personally, said, this is my gospel that I preach. That's how we review us as stewards today. This is our gospel committed to us. God has given this to us so we can refer to it. This is our gospel, my gospel, that I preach as a steward of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace God given to me by the effective working of his power. Paul says God gave me this. God placed it in his care for Paul's lifetime. And when that Paul died, that trust that was been committed to him was no longer with him. That would go back to God as well as his soul to give an account for how Paul handled the gospel. The gospel was God's prized and precious possession, so much that Jesus Christ was sent to die for that very purpose, that we today may have truth that was one time that was Bill referred to as a mystery. And when you look at that mystery in the Bible, it's not referring to something like the Loch Ness Monster or some mystery that's hovers you we don't know nothing about. Mystery always referred to truth. At one time, truth was hidden from us. But now, that is revealed. Paul said, that was what God put in my trust, that I could reveal to you that which was once not revealed by God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Paul says, for we have this treasure, this mystery, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, this gospel is God's gospel. It's God's truth that he has entrusted to those who become his children. So it was then, as Paul preached it, and the apostles preached it, and the early church preached it, as Timothy was taught it, as Titus was taught it, he was to be guarded with all care of how we teach others. It has been pointed out from time to time, Brother, we're not to add to this word, we're not to take to it, we're simply to preach it as the early apostles preached it, as Christ taught it to his apostles, as the Holy Spirit taught it to his apostles. We likewise think. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 11, Paul described the gospel. It's the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which he committed to my trust. And again, it's a personal application that this gospel of the glory of the blessed God, this gospel is concerned with the glory of God, our Father. And as we preach it according to the way it was revealed, all things that we preach will reflect the glory of our Father. And if we don't, then it will not reflect the glory of our Father. So like then, as we mentioned, we're entrusted today with that gospel. Sometimes we sing the song, into our hands the gospel is given. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, bringing the area back to right. What makes this message so precious that we preach? Christ died for it, nothing else. That, okay? But if precious, if taught correctly, will save souls from hell. So it becomes precious to us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul says, and the things that thou hast heard from me, concerning talking to Timothy, me among many witnesses, the same commit thou the faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul entrusted Timothy with the gospel. He says, you preach it as you have received it. So Timothy would teach faithful man. Faithful here simply means you teach it to reliable or trustworthy. And so a steward, even in biblical times, was to be a trustworthy steward of whom his master placed him over to carry out all assignments assigned to him. Strong says here that the word all men means all human beings, that we're to teach this entrusted word to all human beings. And again, how did you receive your faith today? Teach thou faithful man who may be able to teach faithful man who may be able to teach faithful man. From the very first century to 2016, that's how we received the gospel today. Somebody taught us who was once faithful, who taught them who were once faithful for these many years, over 2,000 years. That same word has been taught. And it produces the same thing as those on that in Acts chapter 2. But again, it had to be taught correctly to produce a child of God. We need to know the gospel. God has given us the gospel to know and understand. Ephesians 3 and verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul said you can understand my knowledge. If Paul can understand it, people say, I just can't understand what the Bible says. Paul said you can understand it. God's word, as Brother Evans made it, is not a hard book to understand. We make it hard, trying to make it say something it don't say. There's nothing hard about Acts 2 and verse 38. It's a simple plan of salvation. Used in such language that baptism is a burial, that we can understand how a person is buried and raised, this figurative type language, that we can understand what they're talking about when we talk about baptism. Christians of all people should know the gospel. Now, I understand people are at different stages in that. One, because of the length of time that you may have been a Christian. Your growth and teaching you have received more than that. But again, you are to know as a steward to grow. That's a command that we have as a steward. Hosea 4 and verse 6, and my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Paul told Timothy to give diligence, present himself approved to God, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. As a steward of the gospel, do you know that which has been entrusted to you? And I'm not saying you to know, say like Doyle, that was baptized Friday, as much as Larry would know. But Doyle had some knowledge and he understood that he must be baptized to be saved. If nothing else, that's where you start as a steward. How did you become a steward of God? Start there. And that's a simple thing you can learn. And that's a simple thing you can teach because you understood that and what you needed to do to be saved. And so even as a steward, start there. We have to believe that which we teach. Romans 1 verse 16, that the word of God is powerful. And that it's for all people. When you turn there, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In that gospel, Paul says in verse 17, is to reveal the right way by which we can be saved in this life. If you want to know what to do to be saved, open this which God has entrusted to us and teach that to people. Acts 15, verse 7, Peter states that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the gospel and believe. Reading, studying, and knowing it's not enough. It must be believed. And what is to be believed is to be put into action. Greg would say, yeah, I know that. I know that's what the Bible says. I've studied that and I know exactly that's what the Bible says. But as a steward, these oracles or this truth is placed in your heart, which will tell your body, this is what I must do. It's an action that once you know something, you react to it. Why were you baptized? Well, I heard through my mind, I believed, and I obeyed, and it told me to go to the water. Again, just knowing that our action, Christianity is a life of action in all aspects of life. The gospel is given into our hands, Ephesians 1, verse 13. God has been entrusted God has entrusted this to us. Our hope is in the gospel. Colossians 1, verse 5 and verse 23. Again, I may study, continue to read, yet never put into practice those things, and it will accomplish me absolutely nothing. Just because I come to Mill Street, I see it, I listen, I study, I agree with the Bible class, I agree with the prayer, what beautiful songs we lead, I agree with the preacher's message, and that's as far as I go. Brother and sister, you're not a steward.
Brother, C.L.,
yeah.
If a man just knows enough, uneducated, just know enough to repent of his sins and be baptized, and he didn't know anything about the Bible, but he would go to church, you think he'd be all right?
No. No, if that be the case, if he knows just how the Bible. No. There's no exception.
I've wondered about
yeah. that. No exception, period.
There's many avenues today, CL, that even if a person doesn't know how to read, there is the Bible on tape, Bible on TV, however, many avenues that one can continue to fulfill the command to grow that he's supposed to do to reach that maturity in Christ, which Ephesians 4 talks about. So the avenues are there, even if it takes away that limitation if I can't read, that I can still have resources that can help me.
It'd be the same thing as they're saying, because a person cannot hear to listen to these. Does that excuse him?
A lot of this depends on your efforts.
True.
If you're doing everything you can do, you're at the studies when you can be there. You're putting the time in, and maybe it is hard for you to learn whatever it is. But God knows what our efforts are. Are we really trying to? And he talks about knocking at the door and all those kind of things. Are you really trying or not trying? If all you're going to do is, like you said, repent and be baptized, and there's no other effort after that, then that's not good enough. But I think God understands that each of us have our own limitations. But are we really trying to do something about that?
Good point. The reason I mentioned it, go ahead, Bernice.
I just want to comment, go along with what Ray said. The verse that says, if we seek to know the truth, we'll know it.
Yeah.
He didn't say to the blind and the one that can't hear and the one that can't read and all that. It's okay for you not to know it. If you want to know the truth, if I'm blind and I can't see, I'll still manage to learn the truth. If I can't hear, I'll manage to learn the truth. We have people in our audience that can hear very well. They manage to learn the truth. If you can't read, you'll manage to learn the truth. It's all in desiring to know. It's got to come from here, the heart of the desire and the willingness to know.
Reason I mentioned, you have those people cannot read. Douglas Hills Church of Christ. They've got what, Cheryl? 7 or 8 who are deaf. But yet, as the class is teaching, the individual sign language is repeating what they say. They sing in sign language. Is that acceptable to God?
Absolutely.
It's in their heart. Okay? And so, aspects, I agree with Ray. Things are more difficult. Even if you can understand and read, people still have difficulties in life that may make things a little more harder for them to learn than others. But there's no excuse. All must give an account. Hebrews deals with that when a person can discern between right and wrong, they are accountable to God. And so it's a good point.
You know, when I was raised up,